Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik, and in for Jessica Tai, it's Telly Hughes.
Oh, hard to think of a better weather weekend here for mid-July. You've got festivals going off all over the place. Just a great time to be outside. Get out and enjoy it here as we get you ready for the weekend. Take it until 3 o'clock. Greg and Telly on Wisconsin's Midday News.
And now it's time for Three Big Things on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Well, it's the fifth and final day of the preliminary hearing for 23-year-old Tyler Robinson in Provo, Utah. Robinson facing capital aggravated murder and nine other felony charges for the September 2025 rooftop assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. This happened at Utah Valley University. As part of the hearing, prosecutors played for police a police interview in video of Tyler Robinson's roommate, Lance Twiggs.
Twiggs answered, I asked if he had done what he said he'd done. He cried a little and then said he wished he hadn't done what he'd done. So just riveting testimony, this video right now that has been entered into evidence, and the judge is allowing the publication of it and the public release of it.
That's News Nation's Nancy Liu. The prosecution has rested its case, so it's all up to the defense right now in presenting final arguments. If convicted on all counts, the prosecution intends to seek the death penalty for Robinson.
MPS identifies a new home for displaced students, faculty, and staff at Lincoln Avenue Elementary School. A five-alarm fire on June 30th completely destroyed the 109-year-old school building. The City of Milwaukee Historic Preservation Commission quickly approved the structure for total demolition, leaving the district scrambling to rehouse roughly 480 K-3 through 5th grade students. The Lincoln Avenue School Engagement Council recommends relocating to Pulaski High School for the upcoming school year. Pulaski was the only available option close to the Lincoln Avenue School that allows the entire school community to remain together in one location, which was a top priority.
About a mile and a half separates those two schools. So from a proximity standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. You got a lot of space in that high school, which is a good thing. And the busing, they'll have to kind of get figured out, kind of the drop-off pickup situation. But nonetheless, they've got an option here, which is great. Yeah. The aerial footage of that school just being hollowed out
is
unbelievable.
Yes, it is. That fire, I've never seen a building burn that big, that long. And if you recall, that was an all-day fire that they were trying to put out. But you also got to wonder, putting high school kids in the same area as these K-3 through 5th graders. So I know that'll be a logistical thing that they will have to work out. But with it only being a mile and a half away, that would definitely be more convenient for those students.
Number three, some breaking news. The Milwaukee Bucks will return to full season over-the-air television for the first time in 31 years. Preseason and regular season games, beginning with the upcoming season, will air on My24 and statewide affiliates in partnership with the Rincon Broadcasting Group. My24, this is where the Bucks had their home on TV from 1988 to 1994. Here's what it sounded like back then.
Live from McNichols Sports Arena in Denver, Colorado, the Milwaukee Bucks take on the Denver Nuggets. Live on Fox 24.
Yeah, that was likely right after a rerun of Three's Company or the Ropers. That's what it was. Like, you might be watching The Office, and Bucks basketball is next. Right? The first over-the-air broadcast will tip off on Sunday, as a matter of fact. So they are going to dip into the Las Vegas Summer League. The Bucks begin playing that Summer League today, but Sunday's game will actually be on television on My24.
Wow.
As part of building out that network, that TV network, Good Karma Brands, our company, is going to help lead that charge. So you've got, you know, stations that may want to pick this up. I don't know if My24 exists in Eau Claire or Hayward or other parts of the state. And the folks here at Good Karma Brands are going to work to make sure that there is statewide coverage. Games will be available over the air and on most major cable systems. Also, YouTube TV, which is a good thing because, well, there was kind of a block with YouTube TV and the Bucks TV broadcasts. But in short, it's not going to be too hard to find a Bucks game if you want to watch a Bucks game. And that increasingly is becoming challenging in today's world of professional sports. Like, where do I find my team? How do I get it? Why are the blackout restrictions still in existence? And this helps with that.
Absolutely, Greg. And you have a lot of other teams around the league that is taking this same course of action. I know a couple of years ago, the Phoenix Suns went over the air. And recently, I know people here don't really care about it, but Giannis's new team, the Miami Heat, they are doing the same thing with their broadcast. So this is a trend that you're going to see around the league until they figure out an NBA TV platform in kind of the same way MLB TV has done with the Brewers this year.
Very possible that there could be Bucks TV at some point, not ready to pull the trigger for this upcoming season. So you've got at least a year, maybe more, of over-the-air Bucks broadcasts. Bucks president Josh Glessing instrumental in getting this deal done. He's going to join us coming up at about 2:15.
We'll be back with Johnny Mack's Keys to the Game in just a moment on the Bucks Basketball Network.
So the future of 794 remains a pretty hot topic here in Milwaukee, Telly. You've got this nearly 4-mile elevated auxiliary highway connecting downtown Milwaukee to the Third Ward, the lakefront, Port Milwaukee, and some of the southeastern suburbs here. It was built in the 1970s, so to say that the elevated structure is aging, that would be an understatement. Nobody is arguing that. What is being debated is what to do with it. Right. And this has been a topic for well over a year. So option one, rebuild it, reconstruct the aging and deficient bridges along the exact same footprint, keep it elevated. Option two, level it. Forget about the elevation, bring it down, replace the structure with an at-grade multi-lane street network that would maybe better connect these neighborhoods and also open up roughly 16 acres of land that could be used for development. There's a couple of other improvement proposals on the table, but the main point is you've got a structure that's elevated or a structure that should be torn down, and that's kind of the source of contention. What do you do with it?
Yeah, well, I definitely don't have the answer to it, but it just seems like both ways are going to inconvenience a lot of commuters. It seemed like if you do rebuild it, that's going to take some time, and you already have a project that is going on that's going to take place over the next, 10 years or 8 years with the I-94 project. So that is going to be even more of an inconvenience. But also leveling it, I don't think that is the answer as well, because you're going to inconvenience a lot of commuters that use that bridge. And so and that connects a lot of things. But and the whole redeveloping that land and creating 16 acres of land, what are you going to do with it? And you know, so I think that it's a tough thing, but especially adding on to it is the construction that's currently going on now.
So Mayor Cavalier Johnson stated in his heart of hearts he wanted to bring the freeway down to street level for real estate development, but after diving in a little deeper, he found that the negatives outweighed the positives here, citing that traffic gridlock potential and even freight traffic. You talk about some major semis trying to haul stuff in that area, and that's a little clunky to try and get that done on a grid street.
We've had decades of established traffic patterns, and that has limited our ability to make dramatic changes here.
So the Greater Milwaukee Committee, and their primary mission, by the way, is to strengthen the economic and cultural foundation of the Milwaukee metro area. They would have a vested interest in development. They are backing the mayor on this. Meanwhile, Taylor Korslund of Rethink 794, it's a public interest group, believes the mayor's stance is short-sighted.
They've let DOT run this discussion and not talked about the great benefits that would happen to connect these neighborhoods, to connect the lakefront to our Third Ward and downtown. This would be a transformational opportunity for Milwaukee.
I was most curious the perspective of a developer. How does a developer look at this potential landscape? Yeah. Josh Jeffers is the founder and CEO of J. Jeffers & Company, and his firm in southeastern Wisconsin is highly influential. They're a commercial real estate company, widely recognized for its work in neighborhood revitalization, adaptive reuse, complex historic preservation projects. Like, this would be right up his company's alley. I asked Josh if comparisons between the Park East Freeway, which is now essentially the Deer District, and 794 are logical comparisons.
A lot of comparisons are made to the Park East Highway that got taken down almost 25 years ago. That opened up 24 acres of new developable land in what was the Park East Corridor, now home to the Deer District and Fiserv Forum. And people say, what a success that was. Why don't we do that again? And the two probably aren't entirely comparable just because the Park East, the former Park East Highway, didn't really have quite as much traffic, as much connectivity as the I-794 highway does right now. That's a major, major thoroughfare that goes right through the downtown.
Well, I asked him about those 16 acres of land. If it could be developed, if 794 comes down, how attractive is that land? As a developer, what kind of potential do you see in that area?
Yeah, so that's probably one of the biggest things that gets talked about is the development potential, right? A lot of the advocates for taking down the highway are saying, look, this would open up 16 acres of new vacant land along these nine blocks from basically the Marquette interchange all the way down to the Hone Bridge. You know, that's a lot of prime real estate right in downtown along the river, along the lake. But my thought is, you know, coming at this from the developer perspective, you know, Milwaukee doesn't really have a shortage of developable sites in the downtown. We've got a lot of vacant land already. We have a lot of parking lots, surface lots that, you know, could be developed on. They're already just sitting there. Many of them are actually right next to the highway. And I think one of the biggest things is the new study, it pointed out that one of the biggest, you know, most prime pieces of real estate that would be opened up is there's about a 2.7 acre parcel of land at Clybourne and Lincoln Memorial Drive. So this is just south, if you can envision, it's just south of where the Couture apartment building is, right on Lake Michigan. So amazing land site. It's been there for almost 10 years. It's been sitting there since 2017. So I'm just not really sure that if you all of a sudden open up 16 more acres, you know, have we already absorbed a lot of the vacant land that's just sitting there?
Greg, that was going to be my pushback, because we already have land that has been underdeveloped in downtown. And so why not develop that first before you try to create more land that may go undeveloped for 10 plus years the way that this land has been?
So the mayor provided his stance. The GMC backed it. The Rethink 794 group, they oppose it. But it all boils down to the Wisconsin DOT and the Federal Highway Administration.
You know, the 794 highway is part of the federal highway system. So at the end of the day, you know, the entity that's footing the bill for repair or replacement of the highway and that has approval rights over it is the Federal Highway Administration. So the federal government ultimately decides, but they make a decision based off of the DOT's recommendation. So Wisconsin DOT makes recommendation. Federal Highway Administration makes the ultimate call.
Pending funding, actual construction on whatever is chosen here is tentatively scheduled to begin in 2030. Wisconsin DOT is planning an environmental study in late 2026. So it's still a number of years off, but we'll have a little more clarity in the next, you know, by the end of the year, perhaps early next year, on where this could go. Could is the operative word. At least it's a nice day to be stuck in traffic. You know what I mean? Open up the sunroof, right? Get a little sun. I got to put sunscreen on my head when I got the sunroof open on a day like today, right? I got to come home and I'm burnt. What the heck happened to me? My wife is concerned. But we got a nice forecast here. No rain in the sight. We welcome in TMJ4 meteorologist Lindsay Slater. Not too complicated for the next several days, Lindsay.
You know what? I will take it. And it's funny you actually mentioned the sunroof situation, because I just posted about the UV index today being a 9. So even though it might not feel that hot, you know, the high is only 78 today, you still got to worry about the sunblock. Always put on the sunblock.
Lindsay, I got to give TMJ4 Storm Team credit, because on Monday, I was filling in, and my daughter had her 16th birthday party scheduled for Thursday, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And every day of this week looked great besides Thursday. And yep, I'm coming back to report that everything went without a hitch, and we had a great weather day. So I didn't appreciate the scare, but I'm glad that everything worked out.
And you know what? The funny thing about that is it's that stationary boundary that I talked about like all week, basically. So I know that Milwaukee had all of 14 one-hundredths of an inch of rain And then you had West Bend had almost 4.5 inches of rain. Mm. That's literally the difference.
Wow.
Like, that could have been you.
Yes.
So I'm thankful.
I'm glad we weren't in West Bend.
Right. And Port Washington got a bunch. Kenosha and Racine got a bunch yesterday. So it's just where things fire up. And then once they get going, they just park. And that's kind of what a lot of people experience. My lawn's getting kind of brown. So I live in Waukesha. I didn't get a whole lot. And I was thinking to myself, I was talking to my husband about it. And I'm like, I don't have rain in the forecast till Thursday. He's like, should we water? And I'm like, I really don't want to waste water. But if you care about how your lawn looks, probably got to think about it.
Yeah.
We did learn that your least favorite front is a stationary front yesterday. Lindsay's favorite front is a cold front. But we don't see that moving through anytime soon either.
No, we're good. Okay, so the weekend, 82 on Saturday, 85 Sunday. It's not that humid yet. It might feel a little sticky on Sunday, and then we get to Monday and Tuesday. Those are the 2 days I have 90s in the forecast. Monday isn't terrible. The humidity's still, like, the dew points are still in the low, mid-60s, but then by Tuesday, they're going to be inching towards 70, and that's when it feels like just downright tropical jungle Miami kind of thing. But the good news is the heat dome that we have this week, it's not as long lasting as the last one. The last one we had a few days in the 90s. This one we get two and then it starts to break back down. Therefore, we have more rain chances maybe by Thursday. That's how long it's going to take for us to see some rain. So enjoy that nice stretch.
Yeah, no, we definitely will. And what is normal around this time? Are we around like the 83, 84 range, somewhere around there?
You're so close. You almost won the money right there. 82 is the average high.
Okay.
That was going to be his next guess.
What did we give him? John, down the road. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's great. I mean, they got a big festival weekend here with Bastille Days, Festa Italiana. There's probably more, right? It's a Wisconsin summer, so we typically anticipate that. You got graduation parties still happening. I mean, you couldn't really dial up a much better weekend than this.
Well, and especially after, like, you know, last weekend was really touch and go on a big holiday weekend. It's nice to know that this one, you don't need to worry. And I love telling people that. That's not a reason to not stay up to date on a forecast, but I can tell you we have high pressure. High pressure, what it does, it likes to battle other weather systems, and it usually wins really well. So they're going to duke it out Mortal Kombat style. It's going to keep that stationary front near Chicago and south. We're good to go.
And so I know what happened today. I know Niz probably called in and said, hey, Lindsay, it's a boat day. I got to get out in the boat. You know, can you come in for me? Do me a solid. I'm going out on the boat, right?
He's
for
coming
my
in.
Live
Don't
shot.
Worry.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Well, oh, maybe. Yeah. So I'm coming. I came in to do the noon, and then I'm going to go out to Festa Italiana and do live shots there at 4, 5, and 6. So if you're going out there, I will be there, and I would love to say hello.
Yeah, well, that is very cool. Well, enjoy that, Lindsay. Enjoy a great Wisconsin weekend here, and we'll check it again next week.
You bet. You guys have a good one.
Yeah, you did the same. Lindsay Slater joining us, TMJ4 meteorologist. Craig and Telly with you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. So toy maker Hasbro is out with an adult version of a childhood classic.
They love it. That's because they can do so much with it.
You're the Play-Doh boy.
Right. Kids love to squish it. And squash it and roll it. But most of all, kids like Play-Doh because they can make anything they imagine.
I remember you.
I remember you, too.
Play-Doh, touch my goldfish, Mommy.
Oh, I had a little help.
Yeah, adult Play-Doh. It's a thing now.
Even though it said in that promo, kids like 5 times.
Well, that was an ad from 1981, so yeah, that was before adult Play-Doh was a thing. So I know what you're asking here.
Yes.
How is it different from kids Play-Doh? Well, think about how kids Play-Doh is marketed, right? You got the mermaid kit, you got the noodle-making machine, you can make a hamburger kind of thing. The adult version focuses on an elevated way to create floral arrangements. Thus, the name of the new collection, it's Blooms by Play-Doh.
It's the little things in life that can make a big impact. Now you can take a little time just for you with this fun and relaxing Blooms how-to. Today, we're making a pretty petite bouquet. Believe it or not, these adorable little flowers are made of Play-Doh compound. When you open your kit, you'll find everything you need to create your flowers.
Yeah, see how that's a little different than the 1981 commercial?
Yeah, I like the updated version. Yeah, that makes me feel like it's for grown people.
Each Blooms by Play-Doh kit guides users through creating lifelike flower arrangements. From shaping individual petals to arranging a finished bouquet, it's a hands-on process, very immersive, step-by-step. They'll walk you through every bit of instructions. It's an approachable way for beginners to kind of get their hands into something. So why do they do this? Hasbro's done a lot of research on this, and they found more than 10,000 adults showed in a recent survey that many are tuning into a hands-on creative activities to unwind, with roughly 1 in 7 engaging in arts and crafts for stress relief. So put it all together and you got Play-Doh for adults.
Yeah, I guess so. If you do the research and you find out that adults want to do more things with their hands as a stress relief, that get ahead of it.
Kits start at $24.99. You can check out the garden bouquet, the blush bouquet, or maybe right up your alley, Telly, here, the wildflower petite bouquet. But these things look remarkably lifelike. I was kind of amazed. I think about all the Play-Doh creations I had as a kid, right? You're trying to make an animal or some whatever. You're trying to make it, and it just doesn't look quite right. It looks, well, like a kid made it. These actually look quite official. They've done their research. They've got all the right materials there for you to create a beautiful Play-Doh flower bouquet.
And how long do these last?
It's Play-Doh, right? I mean, does it ever really go bad? I guess it could harden over time, right? Yeah. That was always the thing. You'd lose the Play-Doh lid, and then you'd get like these, like the blue would end up getting mixed with the red, and then you'd have this weird purple brown. It's like, come on, like what did you do here? Where's the lid? Why, it's hard as a rock.
Right.
But I think the shelf life ordinarily is pretty long for Play-Doh. But hey, all great questions.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, the holidays are right around the corner, Telly. Yeah. We'll get you covered here.
Okay.
It's 151.
An everyday hero is when Wisconsin's Morning News celebrates an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning they'd be saving a life. We often talk about what you would do if you saw a house on fire or someone involved in a car crash. How would you react? Would you grab your phone to call for help? Would you run to the scene to help? Well, what about this? What if you saw a woman getting the hell beat out of her? In Miami, Cassius Bythewood was downtown in the middle of the day when all of a sudden he hears a woman screaming and a man attacking her.
I heard screaming, saw him on top of a lady. I just saw his hands going up.
Cassius speaking with WSVN 7 News. We would learn later that this woman was being attacked by a random man. She didn't know him while walking her dog outside of her apartment building. So as this is happening, what does Cassius do? He runs right to the scene.
Sprinted, yes, as fast as I could. He had a weapon in his hand.
The man holding some type of object while this was going on. Cassius throws a kick. He throws a punch. He hits this man over the head with a glass bottle and finally gets the guy away before police show up. The woman, her name, Caitlin Didson. She was badly hurt, severely wounded, partially blinded in one eye, but she's alive and recovering. And she was able to meet Cassius. She calls him a hero.
You saved my life, and it's something I think about every day. I'll think about it for the rest of my life.
Now, if you want to see more about this amazing story, just text the word HERO to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. We should warn you, though, it is a graphic story to follow. Now, Cassius says he feels he was just put in the right place at the right time.
I'm very tapped in with my faith, and I do believe that God places us in the places we're supposed to be.
Yeah, that might be true, but I love what Caitlin had to say here. A higher power may have put you in the right place, Cassius, but you were the one that walked the walk.
We would all to think we'd be a hero in that moment, and you actually were, so thank you.
Thank you.
Cassius Bythewood, thank you for being an everyday hero. Eric Bilstad, WTMJ News.